This week's Sedra, Parshas Shlach Lecha. It's brought to you by the Weinblatts, Lili Nishmas, Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. The Gemara in Sota, Daf Lamed Daled, relates that Kalev, when he was out with the rest of the spies spying out the land, he went to Hebron and he davened by the Kivrei Avos. And he asked them, the Avos, to help him, to save him from the Atzas and Meraglim. So Atzas, Eitza, the advice, the counsel of the Meraglim. Similarly, we have Moshe, says on the Pasuk, Bikra Moshe lehoshea binun Yehoshua. He added the hey. What's Yehoshua stand for? Ka yud hey, right? Ka Yoshiacha meitza samaraglim. He also davened that Yeshua should be saved from the eitza of the maraglim. Ben Ish Chai asks a few questions over here. He says, first of all, Kalev, why? How did he know what? How do you know about the sin of the Meraglim to daven, you know, to the Avos that you were saved from the sin of Meraglim when it didn't happen yet? I mean, they were only spying when they came back. Then they came out with a bad report. I mean, but this was before the bad report. They were just on the way to there is an Eretz Yisrael. So how did he know that to go davening and asking to be saved from the sin? Second question is, what's this? Why did he use this lashon of the Gemara used that he davened to be saved from the Atzas HaMeraglim, the counsel, the advice, or whatever the Meraglim? Why not say the sin in the Meraglim, the Chet HaMeraglim? And a different type of a question is, he asks, how could Tefillah help? We know this, Kol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Mira Shemayim, right? Everything's in the hands of a heaven except for mitzvahs and averas. That person has full, you know, free choice concerning. So how can you daven not to do a sin? You know, save me from the sin. That's up to a person. Hashem doesn't interfere when it comes to saving, you know, Hashem doesn't save you from sin, doesn't stop you from doing a sin. A person wants to do a sin, he can do it. Yes, yes, no, no. It's full bechira. So what's this, how could Kalev daven to be saved from the sin of the Meraglim? And similarly with Moshe Rabbeinu, right? How could Moshe daven for Yeshua? He should be saved from the sin of the Meraglim when, again, sin is in the hands of man, not in the hands of Hashem. So to answer these questions, he asks a more basic question. That is, we have to remember, who are we talking about over? Who are these spies that went out? Who are these 12 spies? These were not some schleppers, right? These were the top of the Kula Manashim. These were the most chashava people in Klal Yisrael. They're like the Gedolei Ador, right? They're the ones that went out. So how is it Shayach? How could they have done such a blatant aver, come back and start speaking, you know, making up stories about Eretz Yisrael and Lashon Harba? How could they have done that? Again, some, you know, low life is no, isn't that? Okay, but these are such great people. How can they do such a thing? So the answer is very simply. And he says that Avadai, they had a plan. They did this on purpose, but they had a plan. What? They figured, look, if we're going to come back and we're going to tell everybody, oh, Eretz Yisrael, such a wonderful place. It has this, it has that, and that everything's beautiful, and it's so Eretz Zavas Chalav Udvash. And so what was going to happen? They felt the people, of course, they're going to want to go. They're going to go in, but they're not going to. They're going to do it like Shalom Lishma. You know, they're going to come into Israel because they're going to want to. You know, wow, a great land. Whoa, let's go. You know, we're in the desert over here. Now we can go into a beautiful land. Everything's wonderful, and they're going to go. It's not going to be hard to go. So they figured, how much schar are they going to get in the end? You know, just to go. Of course, they're going to go. So therefore, their plan was that they're going to come up with a story that it's not such a great place. The people, you know, the people there got eaten up, etc. And then when the people will behold us in any case want to go, so then they're going to get a tremendous amount of schar because they're going to a place which they heard is not so good. And still, because Hashem said, you know, you should go, they're going to go lishma, and they're going to get so much more reward. So he says that was their plan. But Mela, this answers all the questions. It answers, what's this? We said, how did Kalev know there was a sin didn't happen yet? What was he davening for? Teretz is, because right from the beginning, that was their plan. They knew they're going to go, and they're going to come back with this report, and that's the Atzas HaMeraglim, we'll see, and that there the place is not good in order to marbe the schar, so Klal Yisrael should get more schar. So that's why, but Kalev felt, hey, you know, there's something fishy over here, I don't know if this is the right thing to do, and as, in fact, we know in the end, it backfired, right? And they didn't want to go anyways and got a lot of schar, because they heard the bad report, they didn't want to go at all. So you see, this whole idea was, it came from the Satan. You know, they thought they were doing this great mitzvah, but really it was Hashem, getting involved over here and giving them the wrong advice. So this was the Atzah, this was their Eitzah, because that was their, it wasn't yet a sin, it was their plan to, what they thought, you know, to mar v'schar, but it wasn't, didn't work. So therefore, Yeshua, that's where Kalev davened that he shouldn't be involved with this, and Moshe also davened for Yeshua that he shouldn't get involved with it. And it also answers the other questions we asked, and that is, how could Kalev and Moshe daven for Yeshua for sins when Kovi Deshamayim Chutz Mirishim? So he says an interesting thing. He says, why is it that sins are in our hand and not in Hashem's hand? He says, because if they would be in Hashem's hand, there's be no reward. Right? If Hashem made me sin, he can't punish me for it. And if I sin, and if I don't sin, because he stops me from sinning, he can't reward me for it because Hashem did it. So there's no union of reward and punishment. So therefore, it can't be Bidei Shemayim. It has to be in our hand. He says, that's with regular averis. But in a vera like this, this type, here there's definitely room for Hashem to get involved. Why? Because this was an avera which they thought was a mitzvah. Again, they thought they're doing this big mitzvah, they get a marbe, the schar for all of Klal Yisrael by bringing this bad report. And here, when a person thinks he's doing a mitzvah, and it's really an avera, that he needs siyata d'shamayim, he needs help from Hashem that he should see the right way. Because that's a blatant avera. Hashem says, I'm not getting involved. You know it's an avera, so don't do it. I'm not going to get involved. But an avera like this, which is, a person thinks is a mitzvah, he says that then there's room for Hashem to get involved, and that's why both Kalev and Moshe daven for this. So we see how a person has to be careful. You know, like we see with these meraglim, you know, here they thinking of doing this big mitzvah, and in the end, it was not the case. It ended up being a big aver. There's a couple of maisim, two maisim very similar to each other, bring out this idea. There was once an avreich, and he worked for Lev Lachim, a kiruv organization here in Eretz Yisrael, trying, you know, to makar people. And they go to people's houses, they learn with, non-firm people, and try to makarv them. So, he was by this certain family, teaching them whatever, and the neighbor, you know, heard this, you know, sounds of discussion and Torah going on, and it kind of got him really interested. So he approached the same avreich, and he said, you know, I heard you listen, you're learning with this family, and it sounds very interesting, you can learn with me? So the priest says, oh, certainly, you know, another person, and wonderful. So the guy said, there's one little, you know, problem, though. He says, I own a restaurant, and I'm very busy, I work very late hours, and I don't have time. But if you come to my restaurant and learn with me there, I'd be very, very happy. Because I can go away for a few minutes here, a few minutes there, but I can't leave and come, you know. So if you can come to my restaurant and learn while I'm there, I'd really appreciate it. Okay, so Reich said, you know, wonderful, you know, I'd love, sir, no problem. So they set a time, whatever, to come to the. So he came to the restaurant, they found this, you know, little quiet corner there, and he started learning with them, and a few other people, you know, joined in, a little shiur going on there, it was really going well. However, you know, one day the avreich, you know, sitting there, and he's smelling, you know, the food, you know, coming off from behind, he says, this smells like not kosher food here, you know. So he looked into it and he saw that they were serving treif. It wasn't a kosher, it was a treif restaurant, you know. So he's like, he didn't know what to do. Like he's sitting there giving a shiur in this treif restaurant. It didn't sit right with him. But on the other hand, you know, he's doing his big mitzvah, you know, helping this guy, mechazek him and this or that. So he wasn't sure what to do. So he decided that he was going to, bring it up next day in the kollel and ask the other, his, you know, chaverim there, you know, what they think. So discussion back and forth, yes, no. And the consensus was that, look, you know, it's continue this year because, Mistam, what's going to happen is it's going to turn into a kosher restaurant soon. You know, you're going to convince the guy in this and then you'll be able to laugh it, do a big mitzvah, you'll change it to a kosher restaurant. This. So he said, okay, I hear. Okay, fine. So he continues giving the shiur there. One day, a guy walks in the restaurant, a guy with a kippah, you know, right there, and he sees him in a corner of his eye, you know, okay, he doesn't pay too much attention, but he sees that he sits down, makes an order, and the waiter brings the meat, you know, whatever, and sits down, and the guy's eating it. And the Avreich, like, can't believe this is treif. How can he eat this guy? He's a firm guy. What's he doing eating treif? So he couldn't hold himself back. And he walks up to the guy and he says, excuse me. He says, what are you doing? He says, what do you mean? I'm eating my main course. What's the problem? He says, it's not kosher. It's treif. How can you eat treif? So he goes, what are you talking about? He says, it's treif. He says, it is? He says, yeah, how can you eat here? He says, you know what? I'll tell you the truth. He says, I know this is a treif restaurant. I knew it. And, you know, I always, you know, walk by it. And, of course, I never think of going in. It's a treif restaurant. But the other day I was walking by and I see you're here. You know, with your kippah, your payas, you know, beard, you know, sitting there at the table there. And I thought, oh, I guess they became kosher. You know, you're sitting there. Well, you wouldn't be here if it wasn't going to the treif restaurant. And then that's why I come to eat. Anyways, the Avreich heard that. He's like, whoa. You know, here he couldn't believe it. You know, Achil Hashem, you know, Machshil, this guy eating treifas, you know, he's like, whoa. Anyway, so he, but Mitzad Sheini, I know, but what should he do? Like, drop the shear? So he asked the Shiloh, Rav Zilberstein. So at first, Rav Zilberstein had the following idea. He wanted to compare it to Gemara in Tainus. Right, Rabroka was in the market, and he bumped into Eliyahu Navi, and he asked him, "Hey, Eliyahu, can you show me who is here? Somebody who is a Ben Olam Haba?" So Eliyahu said, "Yeah, see the guy over there? He's a Ben Olam Haba. This guy is going to get a good Olam Haba." So he looks at the guy, and he was shocked. The guy wasn't wearing tzitzis. The guy was wearing black shoes. Which today is like, so what? Everybody wears black shoes. But in those days, it was aser for a year, because that's what the goyim wore. So it was aser to wear that. And he was dressed like a goy, bekitzer, like wearing the black shoes, which was aser to wear for a Jew at the time. No tzitzis, whatever. And you're like, this is a Ben Olam Haba. He couldn't believe it. Anyway, so he went up to the guy and find out what's the story with him, you know. So he said, quietly, to listen, he says, okay, I'm a yid and everything, but what do I do? I'm a jailer, right? And I guard the jail, and what I do is I make sure that there's a lot that's very it's a lot of tznius there, and I make sure the women are sleeping on one side and the men on the other side, and I put my bed in between and make sure that keep everybody separate. And but he said, but how come you're not wearing tzitzis in other days? Because he says I'm on disguise. I'm incognito. You know, that people shouldn't recognize me because I want the goyim to think I'm a goy. And because of that, first of all, I'm able to stay in the jail system and help, you know, the tznius there. And besides that, I listen in on all the, you know, the goyim's plans that they're trying to do when they're trying to plan things against the yidden, the Jews. And I'm there because they don't realize that I'm a Jew. And I pick up on it and I listen to what they're saying. I go to the chachamim and the chachamim daven to mevatel their gezeras. And that's why. So, therefore, Zilberstein thought, hey, what a great idea. He says, why don't you just, you know, get rid of your, charedish garb, you know, put on a, you know, baseball cap or whatever, tuck in your tzitzis, whatever, and, you know, don't look from, and then you can give your shiur, you're not doing chil shem, you're not marshal anybody, and you're continuing the shiur. So that's what he thought. However, he brought to Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Yashiv didn't agree. And he said, nothing doing. He says, it's a chil Hashem to do such a thing, to, you know, take a, you know, here your people know you as a from guy, and there you're, you know, putting on your thing and taking, you know, dressing up like a non from person. You can't do such a thing. And he asked, what about the Gemara? Rabroka did that. The person did that. Rabroka met Ben Olam Haba. So Rav Yashatayna, that was different. He says, why? Because all the Yidden, except for, I guess, Rabroka, knew this guy. and knew what he was doing, and knew he was dressing up, and it wasn't a Chilul Hashem, because it was all the Yidden knew that he does this in order to, you know, save the Yidden, and therefore was since all the Jews knew that, it was not like a Chilul Hashem. But you, nobody knows you, you know, here you are, you know, all of a sudden, you know, dressing like a Goy, whatever, that you shouldn't do. And even though we're dealing with, you know, dealing with Chizuk and of this guy, all very nice, but it's not, nothing's worth it if there's Chilul Hashem involved. Another similar Meiser, also of Zilberstein, he was in Switzerland, and he spoke to the Rav there, Rav Yaakov Breisch, and he said to him, Rav Breisch told him a story. He said there was a Yid that came from Poland, and he settled here after the war in Switzerland. And really, a chashev-looking Yid, you know, with long payas, long beard, or whatever. A chashev guy. And then as he got older, it was very hard for him to manage. He had a son in America. So his son in America, you know, got in contact with his father. He said, listen, you should come to America. I'll take care of you. You're old. It's hard for you to take care of yourself. I have, you know, Baruch Hashem, lots of money, and you'll live fine over here. Why should you, you know? So he heard, and he said, fine, he agreed, because it was hard for him to live by himself anymore, and he moved to America. So this Rav Breisch heard what was going, you know, that fine, he went, but he heard that he ended up cutting off his payas, shaving his beard, you know, and he was shocked. He was such a sincere, you know, good Erlich Yid, and what happened? He goes to America, you know, he couldn't believe it. So he contacted the guy, and he said, is it true what I hear? You cut off your payas, you shaved your beard, is it true? So he said, yeah. He said, how could you do such a thing? That's it? You know, go to America and goodbye? He says, no. He says, I'll tell you what happened. He said, I came to America, whatever, and my son, you know, is not religious, really, and to say the least, but okay, he was taking care of me, to, you know, respected me and everything, but he started getting interested in Yiddishkeit, and also he wanted me to learn with him. But similar like we saw in the other story, he had a restaurant, and he asked me to learn with his restaurant because he was very busy. He wanted me, much like the other story. So he says, I went to the restaurant, and I get there, I was shocked because they're serving like a chazer, and mamash treifas, mamash serving chazer. And you know, I didn't want to be like a tudat hechsher for this store. I'm sitting there with my payas, my beard, or whatever, and people are going to think that this is a kosher place. So, in order that people shouldn't think that, I you know, cut my payas, shaved my beard, whatever. I want to be like, you know, it's like that joke, you know, the joke with the guy that goes to the falafel stand, and he says, it's kosher, or shawarma, whatever, and the guy behind the counter says, yeah, sure, it's kosher here, what? So he says, can I see your tudat hechsher, you know, your certificate of kashrus? So he says, I don't have a certificate of kashrus. He says, well, so how do I know it's kosher? He says, what are you kosher? What do you mean? Of course it's kosher over here. He says, look, I have a picture of the Baba Sali over here on the wall. What? It's not kosher? Look at the picture of the Baba Sali. So the guy says, listen, if the Baba Sali, if the picture of you on the wall over there and the Baba Sali was serving me, he says, I'd eat here. But this way not. Anyways, so once again, this person thought, hey, you know, I'll do cut off my beard, l'shem shemayim, and pay us in order to mechazik my son, learn with him, but without megi chilul Hashem. But once again, Rabbi Yashiv, he disagreed. He said that's not the way. It's like we said before, it's not the way to go. It's like chilul Hashem, and chizik or no chizik is very nice, but you don't, you know, worry about chizik and helping people if it means you're going to do chilul Hashem on the way. Which reminds me of another story. There was a Rav was giving shiurim, you know, trying to non-religious people, trying to makarv them. And after the shiur, one of the guys comes up to him, a young man, and he says, maybe you can help me, Rabbi. There's something bothering me. He says, I have terrible toothache. My teeth hurt. Do you have any segula, you know, for sore, you know, toothaches? So he says, yeah, I pulled out the Kaf HaChaim, and I showed him over there, in Simon Yud Aleph, Sikat Yud Zayin, that it's also from this week's Sedra. He says, tzitzis is a segula for teeth, for sore teeth. What's the connection? So as you know, there's four corners. How many strings are in each corner? Eight. So there's eight strings on a corner times four. Four times eight is 32. There's 32 teeth. So the 32 strings is connected to 32 teeth. And therefore, if you have proper kavanah, you make sure your tzitzits are kosher. You have kavanah, and putting in tzitzits, it helps for your teeth. That's what Kafa Chaim says. And there's also another sefer, Chesed La'alafim, and he says there's also when a person puts on his talis gadol, he says a bracha. What's the bracha? The first letter is lehisatev betzitzis is lamed base, also 32. Negative 32 teeth. So you have kavana for the, when you're putting on the tzitzis also. And they say a cute remiss is also in the first Mishnah of Bava Metzia, right? Shnaim ochazim batalis. Shnaim could also be read shinaim. Right? You have problems with the shinaim. What do you have to do? So ochazim batalis. So grab on to the mitzvah of talis, which has 32 strings, that'll help you with your teeth. Anyway, so the Rav told this, this guy that you problem with your teeth. You should wear tzitzis. You know, he wasn't even wearing tzitzis. He wasn't even wearing tzitzis. So he says, okay, I don't mind doing that, but I have a problem because I don't wear a kippah. So isn't a problem like wearing tzitzis and like walking around tzitzis not wearing a kippah? So the Rav said, no, it's not a problem. You know, two separate men. I mean, you should wear a kippah also, but if you're not wearing a kippah, it doesn't mean it's not so. You can wear tzitzis without wearing a kippah. You know, you should wear both. So he says, oh, good, fine, so I'll buy myself a pair of tzitzis, not wear tzitzis. Fine. That's what he did. I don't have one with his teeth, but another problem came up. He comes back to the Rav again, and he says, okay, I'm wearing my tzitzis, but something came up, but I don't know, it's a little bit strange. He goes, what? He says, well, I never told you this, but what do I do profession? He says, I'm a soccer player. Okay? And as you know, as I told you, I'm not from yet. I'm just, in the stages or whatever. And so I still play soccer for the team. And we play on Shabbos. So here I am, running for the ball. And my tzitzis are flying in the air, running down the field on Shabbos, playing soccer with the tzitzis. It's just, I don't know. And it just doesn't look so good. Televised, nationally. Guys, So I want to know, is it okay if I take off my tzitzis, or should I take off? Anyway, so the answer was, tzitzis is one of those mitzvahs that you should wear, but it's a mitzvah kiyum, it's not a chiyum. I went through the whole Torah, but Kitzuri told him, you should not wear your tzitzis when you're playing on Shabbos. That's, no, that's a chilul Hashem. So, again, these are things we have to keep in mind. You're these people, I'm doing mitzvahs, I'm helping, I'm a chazik, all very nice, but you have to know, sometimes you think you're doing a mitzvah and you end up, doing a chilul Hashem or chas v'shalom, and you have to ask a shayla. It's quite interesting, we see the same idea at the end of the parsha. Towards the end of the parsha, we have for the mitzvah tzitzis, we have the episode of the Mekoshesh, right? That the Mekoshesh Eitzim, he went out on Shabbos, and he collected the wood. He was Mechal Shabbos. So, Chazal tell us that he did it L'Shem Shemayim. Why? He says, because this was after the episode of Meraglim, there was the Gzeir, that's it, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael. So he was afraid that people are going to say, that's it, we're not going to Eretz Yisrael, so why do we have to keep the mitzvahs and forget it, and they're going to take it lightly and not keep Shabbos anymore. So he wanted to mechazik them in the mitzvah Shabbos, so he risked his life, his Moser Nefesh, went out, collected the wood, that he should be killed, so that everybody should see that Shabbos is still important. So would we say that's a big mitzvah? About that? Big mitzvah. Huge mitzvah. What happened? Reuben Karelenstein, Shlita, he says, you know what probably happened to this guy? He probably went up to Shemayim. Some say it was at Slavcha. Went up to Shemayim. And he's waiting for this huge chelek in Olam Haba, right? He says, can you imagine what a mysterious nephew I got? I was killed in order to save Klal Yisrael on Shabbos, not right up. And he's waiting to get ushered into the grave. So they say to him, wait a second, not so fast. Not so fast. He says, what? He says, well, we just want to show you something. So they turn on the projector, and they show him the Churban Beis HaMikdash, number one. They show him the Churban Beis HaMikdash, number two. They show him the Inquisition. They show him all the Gzeres Tachbatat. They show him the Holocaust. They show him all these horror things, And he's like, why are you showing me all of this? He says, why? He says, it's your fault. says, what? He says, yeah. He says, all of this is you. You caused all of this. All the gezeirah, all the shoah, all because of you. He says, me? What are you talking about? I had this huge mitzvah. What's that got to do with me? I wasn't even around at that time. He says, yeah. But what did Chazal tell us? That if Klal Yisrael would keep two Shabbases, we'd bring the Geula. Right? They kept one Shabbos. This was the second Shabbos. If they would have kept this Shabbos, it would have been the final Geula. Finished. No Churban, no this, no that. It would be the end. That would be it. The final Geula. Because you were Machala Shabbos, there's no final Geula. And we have to go through all the Galios and everything, and that's all the Galios and all the tortures, all because of you. So he says, what do we see from your same idea? Person thinks he's doing a big mitzvah, Moser Nefesh. If you'd asked the Shaila, I'm sure Moshe Rabbeinu would have told him, don't do it. You know, don't do it. It's not, I think you're doing a mitzvah, but keep Shabbos and we'll be the final Geula. So people, you know, don't realize that, you know, sometimes they're thinking they're doing this great mitzvah, and it's not the case. And the answer is, we have to listen to the Gedolim. We saw in the previous stories, you know, we have to go up to Rav Eliashiv to get you, you know, see the right aspect, way to look at things. Recently we saw a story in the yeshiva here with Nisim Yagen. Also, he says that he came across this one young woman, and he was working to mechazeker, and she was mamish, became real tzedekis, and she was learning in a seminar, etc. So she comes to him one day and says, you know, I got this offer to work in this office, and so I'm thinking of leaving seminar to go to work. He says, oh, what kind of a job is? He says, well, only small drawback is that it's a non-religious, it's a chilani, you know, company. But, I'm sure everything will be okay. So the Rav's like, what? What do you mean it'll be okay? It's not going to be okay. How can you go working in a company like that? He says, you know, it has an influence on you, etc. She goes, no, Rabbi, how you're suspecting me of that? Don't you know how strong I am, and I have worked on myself, and this, and what do you have to worry about? I'm not going to... So he says, listen, I'm telling you, you think that you're in this bad environment, day in and after day out, and with these people, it's going to have a bad effect. And he goes, no, Rabbi, I'm surprised that you even think of such a thing of me. The whole thing. Anyways, he said he tried everything. He said, look, I'll pay you your salary that you would get at the job if you don't go. Didn't listen. No, I'm going. Nothing doing. Nothing's going to happen. No. Okay. So she goes to the... He says, you have no idea how fast she was influenced. He says, already, one or two months already at the business, already she wasn't dressing as she used to be. And another month went past, and it was like two or three or four months, that was it. She was already totally, you know, went off unbelievably. So he was shocked. He knew it was going to happen, but he didn't realize so quick. And he goes, you know what the biggest pell is? When he asked her and said to her, you know, how? Why? Why did this happen? I thought you said nothing's going to happen. Look at you. And she says, look at me? Because what's wrong? She says, everybody in the business calls me the Rabbanit. They call me the Rebbetzin where I work. So what's wrong? I'm the Rebbetzin. Right? He said she ended up marrying a Machal Shabbos. Right? But she's the Rebbetzin. Right? Of course. You know, where she works, she's the Rebbetzin. Right? There's a bunch of Machal Shabbos, you know, whatever. She's the Rebbetzin, you know. But, you know, thinks you're, oh, fine, no problem. You have to ask a Shaila. The main problem is, one of the problems is, and with this, also we saw from Nisim, he says that people don't realize the repercussions of their actions. You know, they think, so big deal. Again, sometimes they think it's a mitzvah, and it isn't. And even if they know it's an avera, but they think, so I do a little avera, what am I doing, and this, that, that. But he says, but they don't realize what avera is. He gives the following mashal. He says, imagine somebody putting out the main circuit breaker, if there is such a thing, in the city of Yerushalayim, I would say. Okay, big city, he clicks the circuit breaker, no electricity. At night, gone, okay? So he says, can you imagine what can happen? You know, a big city, no electricity. This happened a few years ago, I remember, in North America, right? In Toronto and New York area, whatever, Michigan, there was that whole area over there, there was a problem with electricity. There's no electricity. And it was unbelievable. Unbelievable havoc. People were, you know, looting. People were stealing, you know, because dark nobody could see. There's the traffic lights are not working. The stores, they couldn't, the cash registers weren't working. Everything, all the meat was like, the thawing, you know, it went bad. And the people lost thousands of dollars and you know, all kinds of pesha, you know, people killing and that because nobody, you know, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Just a day or two. Right? So, again, this person, we said, look what you're doing, look what you caused. He goes, me? What did I do? You know, I just clicked the switch. What? Nothing. What's a little switch? A little switch can cause unbelievable havoc. So, too, people don't realize what an avera is. Like, a little avera. You don't realize what repercussions has in the upper world, in the entire world, the effects and everything. We think, not. So we have to be extra careful when it comes to what we think is nothing. And even when we think, as we said, it might be a mitzvah, you have to be careful. You have to ask a shaila, is this really a mitzvah? Because we sometimes can be very surprised that one would think is a mitzvah, like we saw tonight, could be much, much worse than the worst one of the worst of errors. And with Hashem, remember this, Hashem should help us do what's right, guide us in the right direction, let us see clearly what's a mitzvah, what's an avera, and we should stay free from the averas and follow only the path of the righteous through the mitzvahs, and Hashem should help us and bring the Mashiach Tzidkenu, Yimheir v'Yameinu.
Amen.